Once again, you probably knew that was coming, to 2 Corinthians, and just wrapping up our Advent Stars series, and we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading and considering today verses 14 through 17. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth about his ministry, the ministry of reconciliation in this new covenant era of the Spirit. He says this, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So how does the coming of Christ impact the way you live 365 days a year? Not just Christmas, but every day. And yes, I know Christmas has passed, but today we're reflecting on, in our final series of messages of Advent, on the results of Jesus' coming. Well, we reflected on just three of the many results. And all these three results connect to how we live. And they appear there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. As I was just ruminating, okay, there's literally hundreds of passages in the New Testament that speak in some manner to the results of Christ's coming. This one verse came to my mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, as maybe something we need to hear and consider and meditate on as we move into a new year. "And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." That's clearly the aim of the coming death and resurrection of Jesus. One of them connected to three aspects of living. Those who live might no longer live, but live for him. We're going to be considering that today. Now, in this series, you know, we've been looking at stars toward the coming of Jesus from the Old Testament, Abraham, Hannah, Isaiah, Jeremiah. It's been a joy to share those with you and sort of unpack some of those things. Some are reminders, perhaps, for us. Some are new ways of understanding and seeing the beauty of God's grand plan. And then Christmas Eve in the evening, we consider the reason for Jesus' coming. And then today we're looking at the results of Jesus' coming. Of course, the reason of Jesus' coming is to deliver from the penalty of sin and to destroy the power of sin. Those are wonderful verses that we considered from 1 Timothy 1:15 and 1 John 3:8. But it's not just all these great things of forgiveness and eternal life, and now we just go on and live kind of the way we used to live. No, the coming of Jesus results in something dramatic for how we live, what's going on in our life day to day, the way we think, the way we relate to people, the way we manage what we have. Everything is shaped by and impacted by Jesus' coming. What a profound result, and we're considering three of those aspects today. Now, just kind of a quick kind of recap of Paul and his relationship with the Corinthians in the book of 2 Corinthians. It's a quite complicated relationship. You're reading through 2 Corinthians, you're saying, wow, what's going on here anyway? So Paul's been there, he's written to them. There's some there, a minority camp, that is questioning Paul's apostleship. They're like, that Paul guy, he's a wimp. He's not the real deal at all. So Paul's writing of his ministry and his message and describing the reality of that in the new covenant era by the Spirit. And so Paul is advancing this argument of defending his apostleship and seeing that even his weakness advances Christ and gospel proclamation. And all that is just impacted with wonderful, precious nuggets about things for us too. So although Paul's writing about his ministry in the new covenant and defending his apostleship, it's like, wow, they're just these glorious truths of like what it is like for us in the new covenant and in gospel ministry too. So Paul longs for others to know Christ. He lives to please Christ. He's pursuing this pure motive of proclaiming Christ, and that's for us too. And so as we get to today's text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, we're looking at sort of Paul unpacking three aspects of the results of Christ's coming for the way that we live. New creation people are now alive, and these new creation people discontinued the pursuit of life they had before, and they live now for a distinctive purpose. And all this flows out of Paul acknowledging and defending his ministry of proclaiming Christ. And all of this, of course, impacts the way we live, every believer. So if you know Jesus, these are three things that are true for you, that are results of Christ's coming. We want to unpack these today. Let's just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, kind of leading into this next verse. Verse 15 that we're looking at in a lot of detail today. So Paul speaks these words, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died." So Paul is speaking of his clear motive, clear conscience, that his ministry is about persuading others of the gospel. This is what he's all about. And of course, that is a resounding reaffirmation of the veracity of his apostleship and what he is doing. But it also then leads into what he says in the next verse that points to something that is true for all believers. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us, clearly believers are in view here. It's for their sake, which is believers, and already spoken of those who have come to live, truly live. The rest are still dead, but he died for all, that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but live for him who for their sake died and was raised. We see the three aspects here of living, that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but understood, live for him who for their sakes died and was raised. Is your life boring? Is your life boring? Does it feel rather boring? Back in my youth ministry days, can you believe that? There was a time when I was a youth ministry guy. I took this one on head on. When kids said, "I'm bored," I didn't have the patience for that much. I said, well, that's kind of your own fault, because what Jesus has offered you and life in Jesus is anything but a boring life. It's joy, unspeakable joy, like we've been singing about. So if your life seems a bit boring, then maybe it's because you've lost sight of what this verse is saying. If you've come to know Christ, this can be the resounding note of your life. And if you haven't come to know Christ, then this is a call for you to know him. Here is the reality of living life, not for luxury or success, but in Christ. Life in Christ. What a glorious reality Paul describes here. Let's talk first about new creation people who are now alive. Believers have been made alive by Christ. Spiritually, they are no longer dead. No longer dead to like, I don't care about that God stuff. They now have real life, spiritually speaking, and each is a new creation made alive in Christ, by Christ, for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We'll look at it. Let's look first at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, our key text today, and that phrase, those who live. Only believers are truly alive. So we should live like it. He died for all, that is, all believers, all those who for their sake he had in mind when he went to the cross. We don't know who's going to come to believe, but he certainly does. But Christ died for every one of those for a purpose, with an aim that those who live. And so believers in Jesus Christ now are alive spiritually in the context. They have new life in Christ. Apart from personal faith in Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, we cannot please God at all. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says this. And a lot of people have the idea that somehow they have the capacity to choose to love God and please God. They just don't choose to choose it. But actually, apart from this life in Christ, they cannot please God, according to Romans 8, 8. It is only when we're made alive in him that we can. So I want to just exhort anyone who has yet to come to personal faith in Jesus that today could be the moment when you are made alive. Romans 6, 23 just reminds us of the wonderful gift that Jesus offered, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Anyone can receive it by faith. And when anyone does receive it, they are made alive. How do I know that? Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Just in the very context here, each one who believes, when believing, is made alive to be an entirely new creation in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You may kind of look the same. Some days maybe feel the same, but you're not the same. You are new creation. And this is a result of Christ's coming, death, resurrection for all who believe in him. New creation people now alive. So let's look at the next aspect. The results of Christ's coming is the discontinued pursuit of life the way they used to pursue it. Christ didn't come and give himself, die for your sin, rise from death, so that you could live a Christianized version of self-pursuit. This needs to be spoken again and again and again, because so much of false Christianity is merely a Christianized version of self-pursuit. So much of what sells and what people think of as being this is normal Christian living is a Christianized version of self-pursuit. Christ's death aims to put an end to that. The former living for yourself. Now, there are many things in a proper stewardship of life that are fun and enjoyable and healthy, balanced. I'm not saying there's no place for anything that is nice. What I'm saying is that there should be a proper stewardship of all of life for everything to not be living in this manner of living for yourself. To live for self once forgiven is to live enslaved to a different kind of sin, isn't it? To live for self once forgiven is to live like there's no heaven at all. It's to live like all that really matters is this world and the physical realities of life. But believers have put an end to that. They've sort of renounced that pursuit of living for themselves. And this is by and a result of the working of Christ. And of course, none of us, if you're saying you've got it, then tell me, but none of us does this perfectly. We sort of are tempted to fall back into that pattern of sort of living for ourselves. And it is only as we are more and more conformed to Jesus do we more and more do this. And the one person who did this perfectly is Jesus himself. He never, ever lived for himself. And if you look at Philippians 2 and other passages, you can see that, right? He just, in every respect, he lived to please the Father, and he lived to redeem and love those that were lost. But this is a radical result of the gospel. A radical result of the gospel, that we are now free to not live for ourselves. And this text confirms that those who live might no longer live for themselves. Now, how do we move forward in that? I'm not imagining that necessarily just like, oh, okay, I'm used to living for myself. Now I just stop living for myself. Everybody around me lives for themselves, and I'm not going to live for myself. How do we move forward in that? And I would submit to you, if we sort of pan out in the book of 1 Corinthians, one place that I would go for some guidance in how. How does this process of growing more and more to become like Christ more and more, to live for myself less and less? And I would point us to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, a wonderful text about the work of the Spirit in the life of a believer as we are being conformed to the image of Christ, who did not live for himself. In all the other respects, Christ lived perfection. We become more like him more and more. How? By beholding the glory of the Lord. By beholding the glory of the Lord. This is why worship and prayer and time in the Word, gathering with other believers to meditate upon him, and even our whole life being set on a trajectory of it looking to him. As we are beholding the glory of the Lord with unveiled face, that is the reality of the new covenant air of the Spirit, not the old covenant air where Moses had the veil over his face. We behold the Lord. And in that, the Spirit of God then is working to transform us. We are being transformed into that same image. What is that image? The image of Jesus himself. From one degree of glory to another. Every day, moment by moment, glory to glory, you're being changed. I'm being changed. This is the reality of the work of the Spirit when we are beholding the glory of the Lord. We become more and more like him who did not live for himself. So let's continue in not only then the new creation people who are now alive and the discontinued pursuit of life of living for oneself. Let's consider the distinctive purpose of living. This is dramatic. This is profound. This is like, okay, this is the marching order for every one of us as believers. We have been set free to live for Christ. We have been set free to live for Christ. And this is not just like sort of made up words or whatever. This is a reality of everything in life. Everything that we do, every day we live, every choice we make, we are set free to live for Christ and for others in his name in all we do. Like Paul, we are shaped by Christ and his working to seek to please him in life and in death. Let's consider this a bit. As I reflect on the church and the need for this principle in working in the church, can you imagine if we just had a bunch of people, dozens to hundreds of people, with all kinds of different personalities, preferences, backgrounds, and gifts, and trying to have something that results in a unified, good, God-glorifying thing when you just throw a bunch of people together in a room, in a community. It would be chaos, utter chaos, if not for this principle. When we're seeking, all of us, to live for Christ, he's the orchestra conductor, bringing together the beautiful sound of serving him and proclaiming his name, and that all those different gifts, personalities, backgrounds, preferences are not that which leads to chaos, but that which he uses to accent the glory of his name and the advancing of his work. So when we seek to live to please him, we're not only pleasing him, we're living in a way that results in the community of believers functioning in a way that works to his glory. This then is the distinctive purpose of living. This is a reminder to us that each of us have been set free to live for Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Once again, we who have been reconciled to God and made alive by Jesus now live for him. We live for him. We live by faith in the Son of God. We walk in newness of life. We serve in the new way of the Spirit. All these are other scriptures that reference this reality. But Christ died and was raised that we who are in Christ, now made alive by him, might live for him. But live is understood in contrast to no longer live for themselves, for him. My purpose is for him. Can we say that? My purpose is for him. This is the character of every person who knows Christ and their life mission. So this living for Christ then shapes, of course, how we view and relate to other people, how we serve others in the name of Jesus, how we seek to proclaim the gospel to others, how we love others the way that we ought to love others. And how do I know that? Because the very next verse speaks of how we relate to people based on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. So from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though once regarded Christ according to the flesh, that's prior to being born again, we regard him thus no longer. Obviously, we know there's more than the flesh. And to regard someone according to the flesh is to see that all that really matters is the physical realities of this world. We relate to others only in terms of the physical realities of this world. We are regarding them according to the flesh. But now in Christ, having been made alive and living for him, we see no one, according to only the physical realities of this world. We understand all people are spiritual beings. We understand all of life happens in a spiritual context with God as the one who brings anyone who believes in him into his family and into reconciliation with himself. And so now we regard everyone, every situation with this perspective, not according to the flesh, but living for him. And we relate then to people that way, neighbors, friends, family, people that know Christ and community of believers, people that don't know Christ, people that are doing the right thing, people that are not doing the right thing. We don't regard anyone according to the flesh. We seek to live for Christ in a way that we relate to others to live for him. So we serve others, share with others, pray for others, love others. And of course, here again, it doesn't come automatically. Satan's trying to keep us from regarding people with this perspective. But as we grow in Christ, depend on Christ, and see and understand this is our purpose, live for him, gospel sets us free to do just that. So Paul's goal, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, just a few verses earlier, and our set free in Christ goal too, is to please the Lord. This is our daily endeavor, work in leisure, with finances and time, in all relationships and interactions, whether we're at work or at worship, we seek to please him. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Paul's talking there in terms of when we're here on earth and we're in this body, we are away from the Lord. But when we die and our spirit goes to be with the Lord and our bodies are left here until the resurrection, we are at home. So Paul's saying whether we're in with Jesus in heaven or we're here on earth, which is away for now, our aim is to please him. And of course, pleasing the Lord means to live for the Lord, because it pleases the Lord when we live for him. So there's no disconnection between living to please the Lord and living for the Lord. So how then do we respond? As we wrap up a year, we're moving into a new one. I think this is a great reminder for all of us just to look at, okay, what does my life look like? And where am I going in my life? And considering the results of Christ's coming, just so we're clear, it is only by receiving the gospel, only by believing in Jesus Christ, is anyone truly made alive to truly live. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you have not yet turned to him in personal faith, do so today. It is not a boring life, far from it. It's an adventure of joy in serving him. That's true living, and he truly makes alive. And if you are alive, you are a new creation in Christ, live like it. Let your life reflect this discontinued pursuit of seeking to live to please yourself. Let your life reflect this distinctive purpose of living that Jesus has given to all of us. And he died for all. That is all believers, all those for whose sake he died, all who are now dead to that old life, but alive in life in him, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. I'd like to just give us some time for personal reflection as we kind of look back in 2023, and maybe sometimes you do this with family goals or financial goals, whatever. This one I'm putting front and center, this spiritual goal, living to please him, living for him. And think about, reflect, and maybe reset. 2023, how have I been living? How have I been living in 2023? Where do I need to reset, confess, ask God for strength, clarity? And then 2024, spend time thinking about it. How will I live for him? Where do I need maybe some patterns in my life of getting that, beholding the glory of the Lord, beholding the glory of the Lord, beholding the glory of the Lord, so that these continue changing me? Where do I need to be around the reminders that are going to be saying, wait, I'm not here to live for me, I'm here to live for him? How do we get connected to those people in the community that's going to help us in that? What are the patterns and rhythms of our life that will help us to live for him in 2024? What are the things we need to do serving wise, reaching out to others wise, in our prayer life, that we can move and really live this way more and more? Let's take some time individually, reflect, reset, personal prayer, and then I'll lead us. But I'm going to give you time, okay? So don't just think I'm going to be leading us in 5 seconds. We're going to take a while, reflect, reset, and go before the Lord in prayer.